Good to have each and every one of you here this morning, and I hope that you'll go ahead and open up your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 16, and we'll begin our lesson there this morning. So thankful for especially the visitors who are here this morning, and we're grateful and encouraged by your presence. We've been studying in the wisdom literature and began last week looking at the Proverbs, and so I want to continue doing that this morning. When we look at the Proverbs, so much of it has to do with practical, daily life and putting into practice these things. And it's so much that could be taught in a classroom, whether it be economics, whether it be social relationships and so forth. And one of the things in particular, financial advice, the idea of how to look out into what's coming, be prepared for that. A proverb that we have, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. I think that's how that goes. Would have, you know, a solid basis in Proverbs. And yet we turn to a New Testament passage, you know, like Matthew chapter 6. And Jesus says, and the King James, take no thought. Or do not worry, or do not be anxious for tomorrow. And he says, you know, the Gentiles worry after these things. Verse 33, he says, you seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. And I think some people would make that compete with the Proverbs. So in the New Testament, Jesus says, don't worry about it. It'll just happen. And in the Proverbs, it says, no, you need to be ready for what's coming. You need to prepare. You need to lay up in store and so forth. And so they'd say, well, you know, I guess this is Old Testament wisdom versus New Testament wisdom. I just don't think the Bible competes against itself. And we want to be careful about that. And what I want to show is that the idea of making plans is God's wisdom. And the idea of looking ahead and looking to the future. And particularly, we talked about this with some of the seniors. And as you're those in high school are getting to the end of that period of their life, and those in college are getting through and looking farther into the future, what are some of the things that we need to keep in mind? At the very outset, Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 3, a passage we'll come back to, says, commit your works to the Lord, and your plans will be established. That's where we want. We want plans that are in keeping with God's vision of our plans, of our future. And we want to establish it in His ways so that we can have some kind of idea of security in looking down the road. I just want to begin then by looking at the benefits of planning. We're going to stay almost exclusively in the Proverbs this morning, looking at so many passages, I think, that speak to this idea. What advantage is there to planning? Some people, we have kind of two extremes. Some people will say, you know, I tried, I put things in motion, I planned, and it all just fell apart. It seems to me it's just as good to make no plans as to make plans. So I'm just going to wait and see what happens. That's one extreme. And then at the other end, there is this idea that if you follow these rules, if you put these things in place, nothing will go wrong. And of course, that's folly as well. But even though everything may not just work out the way you want it to, there are still some things that you can do, and there are still tremendous advantages to taking some careful thought, looking to the future, and doing what we can to be prepared. For one thing, as we plan, as we look to the future, we look to the future of our lives here, and more importantly, the future of our eternity, it will keep us from the ever-present need to act now. That's the commercial, right? Act now. It's a once in a lifetime opportunity. If you buy in right now, it's a simple $725 investment, and you will, and so there's going to always be that person who is urging you to, without thought, rush in and make foolish choices. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 15. The naive believes everything, but the sensible man considers his steps. I want to tell you what, you know, in talking about the Proverbs and the wisdom of planning, if somebody says you've got to act now, just make the answer no. I mean, if that's their approach, now or never, then never. I'm just going to back away. I remember somebody trying to sell me something one time, and they wanted to make sure I didn't go home and talk to the wife. Back away. And wives, you do the same thing. If they don't want you to converse with one another, no. No, I'm going to consider this. I'm going to back away from this. And of course, along with that, as you're making your plans for life, you can have made a considered judgment so that you can see when these deals of the moment come along and you can say, no, this is not in keeping with where I want to go. As Christians and as people who live by God's wisdom, we are not people who live in the moment. We are always considering down the road. We live with an eternal perspective. We're very much the opposite of people who fly by the seat of our pants, who are spontaneous. And I don't mean that there can be no spontaneity, but that is not the pattern of our lives. The pattern of our lives is well thought out. It is considered. It's the man of prudence. And so it's going to keep us away from a lot of that folly. It also, though, gives us time to get advice so that we can take things into consideration before the various aspects of our lives come along. I remember when we were planning on having children and then we found out that Emma was on the way. One of the things we immediately did was go and start asking for advice even before we found that out. And so that we took time. Now, I can't say that we've effectively put all of that into practice, but you make those efforts and you gather that information, and it's going to be so helpful for you along the way rather than getting to a crisis and there just seems no time to ask advice. And we're in the moment. And maybe you can go back and ask advice later and go, well, that would have been good to know beforehand, but it's too late. Proverbs chapter 15 and in verse 22, it says, without consultation, plans are frustrated, but with many counselors, they succeed. We want the aid of those who have gone through those things before and maybe even getting multiple sources of information to compare them with God's Word. Proverbs 20 and verse 18, prepare plans by consultation and make war by wise guidance. Proverbs 21 then in verse 15, the exercise of justice is joy for the righteous, but a terror of the workers of iniquity. And that's not the verse I was looking for there. Verse 5, the plans of the diligent lead surely to advantage, but everyone who is hasty comes surely to poverty. And so we want to take all of that into account. We want to think about those things. And this timing gives us the advantage to be able to put that together and to gain that helpful insight along the way. It also, and I think this is very important, a good plan compensates for what we lack in other areas. In Proverbs chapter 30 and in verse 25, as it points to many animals that we looked at this passage last week. Proverbs 30 and verse 25. The ants are not a strong people. All right, so that doesn't take much. I mean, you know, ants, you look at them and what could they possibly accomplish? But it says they prepare their food in the summer. And so you see the contrast is, look, they don't seem to have much going for them. And so what do? They plan, they prepare, and by doing so, they're effective. They're effective in what they do because of this. So sometimes you just say, I don't have much to offer. I don't have much going for me. That's all the more reason to plan. That's all the more reason to be careful. You talk about finances. Somebody says, I don't need to make a budget. I hardly have any money. As soon as I get it, it's gone. You need to be the very one who plans. The person who has so much money, they don't even know where to spend it. Yes, it's important for them to make a budget too. But their money is probably going to outstrip their desires in many ways. You got less, you got to be more careful. The less you have to work with, the more important it is to be thoughtful and careful about your steps, because you can more easily come to ruin. And so the ants, they don't seem like much, but because of their preparation, they are able to accomplish much. We'll see that more as we look in Proverbs 6 at their example. Generally speaking, preparation is going to lead to financial gain. It's going to lead to better circumstances, more comfortable circumstances. I say generally because certainly we can put plans into place. They fall apart, even though we've been diligent and so forth. And yet things don't come together. We'll talk more about that in just a moment. But I do want to say this. I think no matter who you are, you will be better off by godly planning, godly wisdom, than without it. The individual will. Now, you may not be better off than your neighbor over here. I don't know about that. But you'll be better off than you would be without God's plan. We trust Him, we trust His wisdom, and we follow along with that. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 4 says, "The poor is he who works with a negligent hand, but the hand of the diligent makes rich." That idea, you work hard. You work hard, you follow the rules, you'll get ahead. And in fact, we live in a country that is particularly friendly, even in today's age, as much as we complain about the various tax structures and so forth. It's very friendly to that notion. I was, you know, talk about working hard and following the rules. I was reading a study a while back about eBay. And what does that have to do with a lesson about making plans? Well, if you're this idea of being diligent, following the rules, and you'll prosper. They did a study and found that the people who are most honest, the people who gave people what they ordered, they got higher ratings. And because of their higher ratings, they were actually able to sell things at a higher price. Isn't that great that we live in a country where honesty literally pays off? And so that is wonderful. And we need to appreciate that and take advantage of that in ways that I think are pleasing to God. Proverbs 14 and verse 24, "The crown of the wise is their riches, but the folly of fools is foolishness." You look at someone who has gained wealth by God's wisdom. That is something to be thankful for, and is something even to be, I think, impressed by. Again, if it isn't gained in a godly way. Proverbs 21 and verse 17. The opposite of that. "He who loves pleasure will become a poor man. He who loves wine and oil will not become rich." This idea of enjoy the finer things in life. Proverbs says, look, that attitude of, that I want to get all the joy out of life, I want all of the pleasure out of life, it will bring you to ruin, is what this says. And so as we look at that and we find that wisdom that would point us away from poverty, it would point us away from want and need, we need to appreciate that. And when we find ourselves in want and need, maybe one of the things we need to do is open up a book of wisdom like this and say, what rules here am I not following? What guidance, what wisdom am I not following? All right. Then also, I think just in general terms, in everyday life, planning is something that's going to get you ahead. Not in ways that make the newspaper, that's going to put you on Forbes 500 list, but in ways that just make you honorable, admirable by God's standards. In Proverbs 31 and verse 15, speaking of the virtuous wife, "She rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. And she considers a field and buys it. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard," and so on. In verse 15, you might have an alternate reading in the New American Standard there. It says, "For her maiden, she prescribes tasks." This idea of the woman, what does she do? She gets up early and she makes sure that her family is prepared for through the day. Not only that, but she comes over here and she makes sure that her servants have things to do. What does that take? It takes a little planning, doesn't it? You got to think, what's the next day going to look like? And the people that I know who get the most done, who seem to truly get the most out of life and are most effective at what they do, they are people. They're just constantly thinking ahead and they're constantly looking at what the next thing is and always writing that down. My mother's one of those people who writes everything down, and she's got this calendar even to this day with all the digital things. I was writing the other day and you can't have a conversation because she's worried about what are we going to do tomorrow. And she gets more done than I ever will because she's constantly planning and constantly looking ahead. And so that's what effective people do. And that's what God says. Now, this is not me getting up and telling you. This is not just a self-help book here. This is God's wisdom saying this is what success looks like, is that we want to think ahead, want to look at what the next day's activities involve. Now, it's not enough just to plan, of course. But now we've got to put into action. And this is so important as we look through the Proverbs as well. Certainly, we want to work hard in making our plans. Again, over in Proverbs chapter 21 and in verse 5, Proverbs 21 and verse 5, It says there, the plans of the diligent lead surely to advantage, but everyone who is hasty comes surely to poverty. So you put time and effort into making that plan. And so absolutely, you be diligent in that aspect of it. And yet, you don't leave it there. Back to Proverbs 20 and verse 5. Proverbs 20 and verse 5. A plan in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding draws it out. You don't want to just always be, boy, that guy's always making plans. Always studying and never coming to a knowledge of the truth. We want to be men of action. We do. We don't want to be hasty men of action. We don't want to be people who act before thought, take the thought, be diligent on that end, but then pull it out. You know, bring it out eventually. Don't just be somebody who's always talking about the next thing that you're going to do. We also want to plan for and particularly act on the obvious. Some, again, going back to that idea of what planning doesn't do any good. Look, there are certain things that you just got to know are coming. And you do need to be making plans for those things. That's, again, going back to the ant now in Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6 and beginning there in verse 6. Go to the ant, O sluggard. Observe her ways and be wise, which having no chief, officer, or ruler, prepares her food in the summer and gathers her provision in the harvest. Now he compares that. He says, how long will you lie down, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Your poverty will come in like a vagabond or a robber, and your need like an armed man. You know, people will talk about the crises that come into their lives. And so often they'll talk about crises as if it's just something you couldn't see coming. So for instance, tax time rolls around and in my circumstances, we've always written a check there on April 15th. And sometimes we didn't have all the money. But I tell you, I never acted like, or a child never act like, well, how could I possibly known this was coming? Well, because it comes every single year. That's how. And so what do you do? Well, all year you put away money and you make plans for that. People will get into a tight spot around some time where they're supposed to be buying a gift for their wife or maybe for Christmas, buying presents for the children and so forth. And they go, you know, here we are again. It does happen the same time every year, you know, and so you can put away. Someone was asking me a while back if we had a payment plan for camp, the camp that we come to. And she said, it's just a lot of money to fork out at once. And I was like, I know, that's why you put a little bit in the bank every month. And then when it rolls around, there it is. You have it. But of course, that takes some effort. And as it says here, it takes being a little bit of maybe a self-starter. Because it says the ant does this what? With nobody standing over them. Nobody's there, you know, telling them that they have to do this. They've got to take it a little bit of initiative on themselves. And they do it. And so we must do the same thing. Let me also say that you got to make plans when it comes to religious things. I put a bulletin in the article this morning from 1959 where Earl Kimbrough was talking about making your plans for vacation. I've heard people say, you know, we meant to go to worship, but when we got there, there just wasn't a church anywhere near there. Oh, did you have a place to stay when you got there? Oh, yeah, of course. We called ahead and made sure about that. You could have done that about the church, too. And especially in today's day and age, how could you possibly leave that out? And so you got to make plans. You got to look for the obvious. You don't just get up on Sunday morning and say, I wonder if there's anywhere for us to go worship today. And so you make plans. You make plans with spiritual things in mind, with jobs. I was so appreciative when Andrew Lewis told me he was looking for a job. He said, I've told him I'm not moving anywhere if there's not a church there. He wasn't just going to get there and go, well, you know, I hate that the situation's not great here. There's no church, but at least I got a job. No, it's the other way around. There will be a church. I will make sure that there's that first and foremost. And so we need to look ahead to things that we know are coming and make the plans and make the provisions that we can make for those things. Also, we want to do things in the right order. So plan things out, but don't get ahead of yourself. In Proverbs chapter 24 and in verse 27, prepare your work outside and make it ready for yourself in the field. Afterwards, then build your house. Now, We don't live in an agricultural society as much as we used to, though I guess we do more here than some places I've preached. But the idea of you go out there and they would live off the land. I mean, that was their source of income. That's how they're going to sustain themselves. So what does he say do? You make sure you get that going before you build the house. So here you are, you're going to make sure the house is in order. You know, I get all of that. And then I'll see what I can do about income to support that. I says, no, you got it backwards. You go out there and you get the field productive, and then you go build the house that field is going to be supportive of. Some people will talk about marriage in those sorts of terms. You say, well, what are your plans? You know, what are you going to do? We'll figure that out. Well, wait a minute. You got a household you're fixing to start. You need to support that. And living on love very often turns into great turmoil because of a lack of plans. And that turns into poverty and so forth. So we want to make sure that we get things in an orderly fashion, and we make sure that our plans, we don't presume on things, but we set things in place and build in the right order, on the right foundation. Proverbs chapter 6, back there. Backing up from the pointing to the ants. And he's talking about being industrious, being productive. There is a need when we're putting plans into motion sometimes where there's a sense of urgency. And there needs to be, it doesn't need to be long term, you know, eventually I'll get around to it. But there's a time when you need to go after this, and you need to go after this hard. In Proverbs chapter 6, beginning in verse 1, my son, if you have become surety for your neighbor, have given a pledge for a stranger, if you have been ensnared with the words of your mouth, have been caught with the words of your mouth, do this then, my son, and deliver yourself. Since you have come into the hand of your neighbor, go humble yourself and importune your neighbor. Now here's the urgency. Give no sleep to your eyes, nor slumber to your eyelids. Deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hunter's hand, like a bird from the hand of the fowler. And then, of course, he goes on to point to the ant and the sluggard. Now, there's times when we are pursuing things, and somebody, people who have pursued things with a zest and have gotten to where they want to be and have gotten to a better place in life, maybe to a place where they can spend more time with their children, more time doing the Lord's work, especially. And they've gone through maybe 2 or 3 years of schooling and so forth to try to get themselves to that point. You say, how did you do that? That's what I asked Chris Mitchum. How do you manage? You work a full-time job and then you go to law school. When do you sleep? You know what the answer is? Most of the time, I don't. Not as much as I'd like. And for now, that's going to be the case. And there are people who are not willing to do that for any amount of time. They're not willing to go through not 2 weeks, certainly not 2 months, and definitely not 2 years of discomfort. And this says there's a time when you got to push after something. And you may have to go through a period of discomfort. You push through that. And don't sit there and say, well, I got to have my sleep. So that's what it points to after the end. There's somebody going, look, I got to sleep. Sometimes we just may not have as much time for that. And that's not permanent. We don't want that to be a permanent situation. But that may be a situation until we get out of a situation that we've gotten ourselves into. Kind of going along with that, we got to keep after our plans. Sometimes we get things on a road that we want. We think things are going smoothly, and then we just sort of back off. And we think that we can just kind of coast on whatever past successes that we've had. And that can be physically, and that can be spiritually. Proverbs chapter 27 and beginning of verse 23, though, says this, know well the condition of your flocks and pay attention to your herds. For riches are not forever, nor does a crown endure to all generations. When the grass disappears, the new growth is seen, and the herbs the mountains are gathered in. The lambs will be for your clothing, and the goats will bring the price of a field. And there will be goat's milk enough for your food and for the food of your household and sustenance for your maidens. Wes Brown tells a story, and I tried to look up its origins. I think it's an old Indian fable. But at any rate, he tells the story of a man who inherited the family estate from his father, and it was very prosperous, and he continued to live off the prosperity of the land. But it, it wasn't long as he neglected the land that things started to fall apart and the profits quickly started to decrease. And he got word that his brother, who was to inherit half the inheritance, was coming home, and he was going to be very afraid of what he had to show. And so he went and asked this woman, the wise woman, what should I do? And she gave him a box that was locked and had a hole in it, and said, there's dirt in here, and you go sprinkle this magic dirt. Go sprinkle it on a little bit of every part of your land. So he did that starting the next day. And the first thing he found, he walked into a field, and the laborers, they're resting. They're not doing anything. And he said, what are you doing? I pay you. Get up and get busy. And so they began tending that field. And then he found a fence that was not mended in another place. And you get the idea. He went around and found all of these things. And lo and behold, magically, the land started to prosper again. And of course, he wanted to see what was in the box. And he opened it up. And it was nothing but dirt and a note that said, tend to your fields. And it was, pay attention. You can never ease back. And whether it's pursuing the Lord, we can never rest on what has been done in the past and say, well, you know, my spiritual state will just stay where it's at. No, Hebrews chapter 5 says if you do that, you'll come to need somebody to teach you the elementary principles. And the same thing, of course, is true financially. If we just sit back and just assume that our finances will stay in order, they will not. They will quickly get out of hand. And so riches are not forever. Well, we think of all of that and we consider all of that. But I think what's very important, and especially as we're looking at the Proverbs, is to understand that we don't have to go to what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6 to find that balancing element to this. It's not like the Proverbs say all of this. You plan ahead, you plan for the future, invest in your future. And then Jesus kind of turns around and says, well, not really. No, even in the Proverbs, we find that balance. We find the need to recognize the uncertainty of our plans, the uncertainty of riches. In Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 28, Proverbs 11 and verse 28, he who trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like a green leaf. And so even here, you know, even in the Proverbs where it's telling us, look, if you do this, you'll be financially better off. And you'll be wealthy. And then it turns around and says, but don't trust in that. Don't think that that's going to get you through every turmoil of life. In Proverbs chapter 23 and in verse 4, Proverbs 23 and verse 4, do not weary yourself to gain wealth. Cease from your consideration of it. When you set your eyes on it, it is gone. For wealth certainly makes itself wings, like an eagle that flies toward the heavens. You know, I mean, I am all for the retirement plan. And in fact, I believe, you know, some people say, I don't put up for retirement. God will just provide. Look, God says, look, we work so that we can provide for ourselves. And if working is appropriate to provide for myself for next week, then why is working not appropriate to provide for myself 10 years from now, when I'm not going to be working anymore? Well, I'm going to be working 10 years from now, I hope, but somebody else might not be. So why is it not appropriate to use that work in that fashion? So I get that. But God has always reminded, even in the midst of all these passages about how to gain wealth, he's still reminding, don't think that's permanent. Whatever plans you're making there, don't make that the thing that you put your hope in and your trust in. Over in Proverbs chapter 19 then, Proverbs chapter 19, and there in verse 21, many plans are in a man's heart, but the counsel of the Lord will stand. We look to God's word, and we look to the things that God says will not change. And we establish those things. Romans chapter 8, where he says, look, no matter what else happens, here's the love of Christ. And we're not separated from that. That's where you plant your feet. You make plans and you follow along God's wisdom, but you plant yourself on God's promises. Proverbs 16 and verse 9, the mind of a man plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. We trust in him And we trust in His. And in fact, when we pray to God with our plans, we bring our plans to God. We say, this is what I want. I tell you, one of the things we pray, like Jesus, your will be done, not my will. We come to God, we say, your plans are more important than mine. That's our prayer to God. This is what I want. But I want what you want more than anything. I want you to direct. I want you to guide my steps. And so we make those plans, but we put our certainty in God. We make plans that are committed to God. As we read from the very beginning in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 3, commit your works to the Lord and your plans will be established. And this speaks to what Jeremy was saying when we're talking about, you know, our ultimate plans are heaven. Can you commit in good conscience? Can you bring your plans to God and bring them to Him for His blessing? When we look at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. One of the things that I think is helpful is to suggest, is this something you can do in Jesus' name? We pray in Jesus' name, right? So we, at the end of our prayer, we speak by His authority. In His name we pray. Can we say, in His name I do this? Can we bring these plans to God in your name? This is what I'm pursuing. That's where our mindset needs to be. And hopefully that will cause us, if our plans are leading us away from God, that will bring some shame. That would bring us to change those plans. What we want to do is make sure, whatever we're planning, that our plans leave us on the side of God. Certainly in that last great day. In Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 31, the horse is prepared for the day of battle, but victory belongs to the Lord. Don't think that if you have the right game plan that you'll win in this thing called life. No, the Lord is where victory is at. There's a Prime Minister of England, William Gladstone, and there's a story that a young man who was a great admirer of his came to him to interview him. And so Gladstone says, what are your plans? And he says, well, I intend to go to Cambridge like you did and study the law. And he says, well, all right. And then what after that? And he says, well, I intend to practice the law and help a great many people. And he says, well, what after that? And he says, well, I intend to run for parliament and be a representative and represent the people like you did. He says, what about after that? And he said, well, then I intend to become prime minister. And in fact, follow in your footsteps and make so many great reforms like you. And he says, what after that? And he says, then I guess I'll retire and write my memoirs like you've done. He says, what about then? I don't know. I guess then I'll die. And then he says, well, what about then? And the man said, well, I hadn't thought about that. And he says, well, that's where you need to start. Is that what about then? He said, because I didn't plan for any of those other things. But that next what about then after you die, it's really the only one that matters. And if you make plans for everything right up to that and not that, all of those plans will be dust and ashes. And you'll be left with no plan, nothing that matters on that day. And so absolutely plan for life. Plan for things that will be helpful. Plan for things that will glorify God. But make sure that you've thought past that last day, and especially you young people, as you're making your plans for life and your careers and so forth, and you're thinking down the road and you're thinking about when you're going to start a family and what that's going to look like and then your career path and all of that. You think about when all of that is over, then what's your plan? And I hope that every step of the way will lead to that ultimate thing, that victory with God. Well, we need the balance of the Proverbs in our lives. We don't need to imagine that we can plan for every eventuality, that no matter what comes, that we'll be ready for it. That is one of the pieces of advice that sticks with you when you ask people about children. One thing I can guarantee you is that it is not what you expect. And so you can't. You try to put every little thing in place and it won't be there. But then don't throw up your hands and say, well, then I can't do anything. No, there's still a lot of things you can do. Even though there's so much unexpected, God. And when somebody says, well, I just want to trust in God. What do you think the Proverbs is? I do want to trust in God. So I'm going to do it His way. I'm going to let God provide for me. I'm not going to worry about that. I'm going to let Him provide for me. He has. Through the wisdom of His Word. He said, here's guidance. Here's wisdom for you to follow. So we need that balance. And we need to trust in His wisdom and trust in His care. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, then you haven't planned for that last, what next? And so you need to start there. That's where your plans need to start. You don't have victory right now. You look at that day of judgment, of the day of victory and the day of horrendous defeat, and you are still on the side of defeat. And so I hope you will make your plans now, even this very day, to begin serving God. So that you'll be prepared for that. If nothing else in this world, that you would be prepared for that great day. And if we can assist you in that, won't you come forward while we stand and while we sing?